October the 30th, 1993. On this day, a Hollywood heartthrob will die from a massive overdose of cocaine and heroin.
At the age of 23, it happened outside the Viper Room, a popular West Hollywood night spot. His friends say Phoenix had been, in the words of one of them, acting strange. When he collapsed, his brother called 911 and mentioned the tranquilizer Valium in his frantic call.
You must get over here, please. You must get over here, please.
Okay, take it easy, okay?
Okay, now I think he had Valium or something. I don't know. You must get over here, please.
Yeah, slow down, okay?
Well, where is the guy?
Okay, we have help on the way, all right?
I know.
Phoenix's co-star in the Mosquito Coast, Harrison Ford, called the young actor a man of talent, integrity, and compassion. Other film credits include Stand By Me, My Own Private Idaho, and Running on Empty.
Inside this trendy Hollywood nightclub, he was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, where police say he died 50 minutes later.
At this point in time, the exact cause of death is still under investigation.
Los Angeles homicide detectives say an autopsy will take place in the next few days and should reveal what caused the young actor's death.
I've had a pretty good life.
I've had a pretty good life.
The call came in sometime after midnight. I came in as a seizure up on Sunset Boulevard at the Viper Room.
I walked out and I literally cartwheeled over him. He was lying on the sidewalk getting resuscitated by paramedics.
I didn't understand what had happened. You know, half an hour ago he was, you know, seemingly no problem. And then boom.
You can have it.
You don't want to hold it?
That's a little too
techie.
I don't want to be married with just this sort of thing. I'm very proud of it, but I think it's a bit too showy.
Did you go to an acting school?
No.
What did you do?
No, I started acting through auditioning and trial by error, basically.
How old were you then when you started?
10.
Was that so?
Mm-hmm. Television commercials, and then later you get cast in a film, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really explain why I understand what I understand. I just do.
Mm.
And to try to figure it out, I think, would kind of ruin it, you know?
Mm.
I want to leave it like a mine of gold, you know, without ever mining it, you know, and selling it. I don't want to sell it off. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to understand it in a way that will exploit the pureness. So I just leave it. I don't understand it, but I believe it.
You're a natural.
I'm not saying anything.
Mm. I'm saying it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I thought you did a wonderful performance
thank
in that movie.
I thought that the home theme, In Search of Home and The Birthplace, very much cued by Gus's visual with the salmon swimming upstream, getting back to that spawning ground.
At one of the press conferences, I heard you make the connection with how America treats their homeless. I thought
Absolutely.
That was interesting.
Well, I mean, we all know it. I mean, there's nothing to hide. It's very obvious. There are priorities that lie more in an arms race or supporting, like, a World Bank, which has its subsidiaries and its affiliates spreading, you know, develop the third world or whatever, you know, spreading its havoc across our continent, you know. It's more of like a police state now, more so than ever in the States, you know. They're controlling things that get the culture in trouble. You know, it's like a pressure cooker and never turning the stove off. It cooks and cooks until it explodes. Idaho just reminds you of the street level that is ignored. And perhaps you have a lot of that in Europe, and you do in fact. But we have so much more, you know, in concentrated areas where there's no way of integrating and finding a way out. You know, you're just trapped to, you know, your perimeters.
That was short.
Well, I mean, the problem is that I believe very much in the Native American Indians who really owned this land beforehand. And their idea was that a photo can take your soul.
A photo can take your soul.
So, of course, I've compromised, to some degree, but then I haven't because I'm playing another character in film. Beer break. It's imported, and it's from Holland. Did you tell them the story yet? Last night I was at a conference of some kind. It was terrible. And I was asked to do Amsterdam TV by the company. I said, well, yeah, where are they? And then he shows up, and I know Bram from the Chili Peppers. And so then we got together and started this.
Because you normally don't do,
I don't
do a lot
television. I don't want to sit there and be a puppet and you become more of like a speaking piece for their show than your own film. And so then you have shows all the time showing clips of the film, speaking about the film. But you don't have, and then we talk to the actor, rubber penis. And, you know, I sit down and like, yeah, and then like, yeah, I had a fun time doing this project. Yeah, it's just stupid, man. It's just a waste of time.
Right.
It bores me. And it scares the shit out of me, too, to be frank.
To be in front of a camera?
Oh, so frightening.
Oh.
That's why when I'm on set, I never look at the camera.
Right.
You don't look at the camera.
That's funny.
I'm very frightened right now. I'm dealing with it somehow.
Yeah, you're dealing with it quite well, actually.
But I really am frightened.
Oh.
This is very... yes, yes. A tributary to the Holland imported... brewski.
You have this very... particular point of view on how you want to work, and then there's the business that you sometimes will have to deal with.
The business always goes for what you do best. When critics start speaking up and they believe in something, then you have the power to get blowjobs basically from the corporate leaders.
Mm.
I mean, I found myself being blown by America's film corporations. It's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah. I come in their fucking lens. We'll call you back. Bye. That's because Van Sant, the director of the film, on the phone. It's not about career. It's about believing in something. It's about prosperity. And it's about caring and empathizing and wanting to create the best, the most true to life, the most real.
Well, that's something that you wouldn't hear a lot of Hollywood people say. What you just
That's why I don't hang out and talk to those Hollywood people, because they're there to hurt me. They're there to hurt my views.
How do you look upon awards in general?
In general? Well, in the Oscars in particular, let's just say that the history is very impressive and just amazing. You know, it's a real nice history, and I guess my only reservations on any of that would be, you know, the kind of modern day programming and a sort of mockery of Hollywood that I don't think it's anyone's fault, but people just trying to mimic, you know, Hollywood, and it's just a sad parody almost. It's not even, it's not entertaining to me. It's but that's just programming. That really shouldn't matter,
sure.
Like entertainment or the whole kind of package that it comes with. The awards themselves, I think, are
beef. It's a very wasteful system. Turns out you save more water by not eating one hamburger than you would by not having a shower for 2 months.
Anybody else want in on that to throw us an example out here? Anything that caught your eye? It's
yeah,
up to you.
We're bombarded from age, whenever you start school, with this sort of propaganda. That if you don't eat your milk and your eggs and your chicken and your fish and your meat, then, well, you'll just die and you won't grow up to be big and strong like your grandfather, and that's
just
not true.
It's completely ironic because, as John says in his book, the more animal fat that we eat, especially ladies, the more prone we are to breast cancer.
So your odds of dying... We really have abundance in the midst of this silent holocaust that is happening every day, in which, for example, in the process of this show, in the time that it will take to do the show, 1,800 children will have died as a consequence of hunger and malnutrition, when we have abundance all around
and
us.
And McDonald's cares for you. Remember that, all of you.
Right here.
I was wondering what each... Phil, I have a concern about Lisa's reluctance to vaccinate her baby. I can understand your concern about some of the side effects from some of the vaccinations, but if you look into the literature, you'll see that many, many more children have been saved from those vaccinations than have been killed from them. And I work in public health, and I just think it's too bad to give people the idea that not vaccinating your baby is a positive thing to do. I really feel strongly about it.
There's always exceptions. The idea is just to automatically trust and take someone else's word as the truth,
yeah,
and then go ahead and do it without even researching yourself.
Right.
I think she's posing the idea that maybe you should research it and take your baby as an individual and not just as another one coming through on the production line and here, give it pills, give it this, shoot it up.
Yeah.
Ricky Rodriguez left behind this home video as a suicide note before shooting himself in the head last month. On the tape, Rodriguez lays out his plan to murder a leader of a religious sex cult called the Children of God, also known as the Family.
It's a need for revenge. It's a need for justice.
Rodriguez stabbed 51-year-old Angela Smith to death as revenge, he said, for years of sexual abuse he suffered as a child growing up in the cult. Smith was a longtime member of the cult who served on the board of directors of the Family Care Foundation in Dulzura, a Christian missionary group with close ties to the family.
She was the most caring, kind, loving individual, and it truly is sad that her life was ended so tragically.
Cassandra Mooney was friends with Smith and has been an active member of the cult for decades. Mooney works for another nonprofit with close ties to the cult, Activated Ministries in Escondido, distributing Christian literature.
It's a life of preaching the gospel and helping other people to know about Jesus, and that is what we are all about.
To this day, some members of the Family still live in communes. During the 1970s and 80s, cult leaders advocated open sexuality, even among children, a practice that led to widespread child sex abuse, according to former members.
It was systematic abuse, and it was doctrinal.
San Diegan Jim LaMattery left the group in 1975 before most of the alleged abuse took place. LaMattery says cult leaders continue to deny responsibility.
I don't want to see another murder. I don't want to see another suicide. And they have a responsibility to stop it. And that means, yes, standing up. And if that means some of them go to jail, well, that's what accountability is.
Cult leaders say they banned all sexual contact with minors in 1986, and they've apologized to the victims. Even so, many cult members have a hard time believing that child abuse actually took place.
Tonight, an extraordinary account of a mother's struggle to save her children from a cult in Thailand. Now, you may never have heard of the Children of God, but it's out there. In public, members constantly invoke the name of Jesus, but in private, they reportedly see child sex and incest as part of their gospel.
We receive word of the mother's plight from the offices of South Dakota Senator Larry Pressler. What at first had the sound of a custody battle became much more than who gets the children. Possibly at stake were matters of sexual abuse and mind control. Tom Jarrell has a startling two-part report that's been nearly 6 months in the making.
Vivian Shalander is 35 years old. She lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. A year ago, Vivian appeared to be a typical American woman, going through a routine day, caring for her four-year-old son, Yancha. But if you looked closer, you'd have seen that her life was in shambles. She was an emotional wreck because her four other children, John, April, Caleb, and Tito, were trapped and had been for their entire lives in a destructive cult called the Children of God. Vivian believed, though she wasn't certain, that they were living halfway around the world in Bangkok, Thailand, with their father, Richard, who's also a member of the cult. She had not seen her children for over 3 years. Heartbroken, she desperately wanted them back.
I've made it a cause and a purpose in my life to get my children out of that organization. When you know that something is wrong, you can't sit back and let your children live that. I mean, to never know anything else, I can't sit back and let that happen.
Vivian herself was a member of the cult for 13 years, and during that time, all of her children were born. A few years ago, she escaped with her youngest, Yancha. Later, she became driven to get the other children out because she understood the abusive practices of the cult which she had abandoned.
All right, y'all. What's going on? It's Black Balloon. And we coming back with another video in the middle of the week, so y'all already know what's going on, man. All right, look. Really hope y'all enjoyed that video. That was River Phoenix and the Children of God sex cult. Now, I thought this would be a very dope video to do. I thought, you know, once again, add texture to the channel. You know, I didn't really have this on my list to do as far as, you know, videos to get to. I just happened to come across that clip with River Phoenix and the black glasses sitting on the couch talking. I happened to come across that while I was just, you know, just watching stuff across the internet. And I was just like, hey, let's do this video. I think it's going to be super dope because a lot of the stuff that I saw, I didn't actually know. I didn't know that River and Joaquin Phoenix was a part of the Children of God sex cult as kids. And there was actually a few things I didn't really know at all. You know, when I went down the rabbit hole just researching for this video, tell you the truth, I didn't even know Joaquin Phoenix. I didn't know River Phoenix was who he was, basically. Like, I think we all knew him from Stand By Me. Now, obviously, a lot of y'all probably knew who River Phoenix was and all that, but I just didn't make the connection with him and Joaquin Phoenix. Just because, truthfully, I never really looked in it like that. But when I saw that clip of him, I was like, all right, dude is like super outspoken. So that, you know, that just, you know, that was like going off in my head. Like, I got to do a video about this now, you know what I'm saying? And just go down the whole rabbit hole of how, you know, that he was sacrificed at the age of 23 on the night of Halloween, which why, I made sure I put that in the text because obviously they like to sacrifice on Halloween. They like to sacrifice shit really just from about the end of Halloween all the way up to the solstice, the winter solstice. So, you know, we already know how that goes. Now, when I saw that he died 23 on Halloween night outside of a club of a OD, I already knew what it was. We already know who is behind it. You know, we clearly by this picture right here, this lets you know he's a part of the Brotherhood, that he is at the minimum a Mason. You don't do the Master of the Second Veil pose with the hidden hand. You don't do that if you're not, you know, basically showing allegiance to other Masons, if you're not saluting other Masons, if you're not promoting the symbolism, and if you don't have some kind of knowledge of what is going on. I mean, because look at the picture. You have to do that on purpose. You have to slide your hand into your jacket on purpose. You know, when they're either, you know, either they've just been initiated or, you know, they're going up a step. Who knows, you know? Who knows? We said that in the last video, and I say that as in, you know, we never truly know if these people die or not. Now, obviously, they gave us audio of Joaquin Phoenix supposedly being there with him and, you know, being by his side and crying and being, you know, in shock that his brother was ODing and he could basically see him dying. You know, but at the end of the day, this is Hollywood. These are actors, so we never really truly know, and especially with the actors. Now, y'all already know me. I believe a lot of these people do get sacrificed because they show us clear as day. But I just always say that just so, you know, just so we can always kind of just have both theories in mind that this person may not be dead at all. You know what I'm saying? Because we weren't there to see anything. All we have is, you know, accounts from Joaquin Phoenix being on scene and maybe, you know, the people that were at the club and that may have saw him overdose, because they give us a lot, you know, about his last days leading up to his death and how he just looked like he was out of it. He looked pale. He looked like he wasn't himself, you know, and he was supposedly on a binge and all of this good stuff. There's a few different theories about who may have, you know, given him the drugs that he had and how he may have died. You know, rather it was something that was done on purpose by Johnny Depp. And, you know, there's everybody who he was around at that time, Flea and a couple of other people that he was mostly involved with back and forth around his death. You know, so I thought it was pretty interesting to go and do this video. And like I said, I didn't know him and Joaquin Phoenix were basically raised in the Children of God sex cult. I thought that was huge, you know, huge, because that just goes to show we never know who these people are and where they come from. What was the parents involved with? Why did they end up in the cult in the first place? And how did they actually get out and then become Hollywood famous in just a few years? Not long at all, because he said, you know, by the time he started acting, which would have been about 10 years old, he was already out of the cult. His mom moved him to California, the family. So we never know how these things truly happen. You know, like this, he could have been groomed for Hollywood. You know, we just never really know. And I had heard of the Children of God sex cult before, but I didn't look into it. And I just saw it somewhere. I saw Children of God. I didn't even see cult behind it. All I saw was Children of God. But it was in reference to like a cult at the time. This was a while ago. I just didn't put it together. But, you know, reading a bunch of articles and going over a bunch of videos and seeing stories of people that, you know, supposedly escaped and all this good stuff. It was super interesting, you know, and then it was disgusting at the same time. Because even like him, he said his first time having sex, he was 4 years old. So that goes to show y'all like what these people really have going on. Now, obviously, when you're that young, you're like not in control of what you're doing. You know, that's fucked up for someone to be, you know, basically having, it's like mockery. You're saying Children of God when truthfully you're like, you're mocking God. You know what I'm saying? You're having children have sex with each other and then you're practicing incest. You have family on family. You're doing the exact opposite of what God intended. So those are like the worst sins. That's the worst of the worst when you go directly against nature. You go directly against what God intended for kids to experience and for what he intended for you to experience when it comes to the opposite sex. That's fully demonic. That's fully the devil's doing. Just when you go directly against what God intended for things to be, especially when you involve kids. You have kids having sex. That's sacred. You have kids having sex at such a young age, and then this causes all of this trauma. It creates all of this trauma in a person's head, and then that's eventually how you end up controlling this person. Eventually how you end up having mind control over this person. Now, the last thing I want to go over about this video was one particular part stood out to me when, you know, when River Phoenix was talking about, you know, how he believed the Native Americans was, you know, true owners of this land, and how he went on to say that the Native Americans believed that a picture could basically take your soul, you know, having your picture taken and looking into a camera and all that stuff for too long can basically take your soul. Now, that really stood out because we've basically kind of covered that on this channel. You know, we didn't necessarily talk about it in it coming from the beliefs of Native Americans. You know, it wasn't necessarily worded that way when we talked about it as far as a picture being able to take your soul. We more talked about it as far as the black scribe mirrors that we all use every single day. You know, which is our phones, our laptops, our flat screen TVs, you know, just about everything we look into with the latest technology has a black mirror, has a black scrying mirror. You know, that mirror can be used as a portal. That mirror can be used to summon demons from the other side. That's why everything is black. You know, they're not as blatant with it with your mirrors, you know, the mirrors that you have in your house, the glass mirrors. Why? Because you can't necessarily, you know, you can't see yourself the best through that kind of a black mirror. They can't be that blatant with it, but they did do it right in front of our faces with our phones and everything else. So, you know, if you think about it, if the screen on your cell phone or your laptop is able to be used as a portal, basically to summon demons, to invite spirits into this world, that means when a camera is taken from this phone, that's the same thing. There's a camera attached to this scrying mirror. You know, there's a camera attached to this portal. That means that it has the ability to snatch your soul or see your soul or have some kind of spirit attached to your soul if you're constantly in this mirror. You know, if you're constantly taking pictures. And if you think about it, you know, I don't know if some of y'all have heard this before, but it's almost like an old saying, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember how it goes, but that's definitely old knowledge to not snap pictures all the time in someone's face and don't stare into the camera. It's just like you shouldn't stare into the mirror for too long. You know, it's the same kind of idea, you know, and I thought that was like, you know, I just thought that was super interesting that he said that, because I've really never heard any other celebrity say it, not saying that they might not be aware of it, but I haven't heard anyone else say that on camera, that they're afraid to look in it because it can take their soul. They're just afraid of it. They get vibes from it that aren't natural, you know. So I thought that was huge, and it really played into what we look into every single day when we look into these black mirrors that are on our phone, you know. So I definitely thought that was something we should bring up and talk about. And you know, if y'all make it this far, I hope y'all drop in the comments what y'all thought about, you know, him saying that about a photo being able to take your soul, and just, you know, drop comments about what y'all think about the entire video in itself, man. Y'all already know, man. Y'all already know what's going on. I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up with that being said. You know, y'all already know, man, it's the middle of the week. We got more videos coming up in the next couple of days. You know, definitely I'll see y'all this weekend, man. Y'all already know what's going on. It's Black Balloon. And I'm going to see y'all soon. I'm out.